Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v današnjem intervjuju znanstvene redakcije, v katerem smo se pogovarjali z kitajsko raziskovalko Si Cui. Ukvarja se primarno s kmetijskimi gospodarstvi na kitajskem podeželju in zanimivo zgodovino sprememb v kmetijski politiki na kitajskem po drugi svetovni vojni in pa vse do danes. V intervjuju sva se pogovarjala o velikem pomenu prehranske varnosti in kako je v specifičnem primeru Kitajske preživel koncept kolektivnega oziroma uporabljajo tudi izraz komunalnega upravljanja s kmetijsko zemljo, ki je za marsikoga oblika socialne varnosti tudi danes, a ne v času finančnega imperializma. S profesorico Si Cui, oziroma kot si tudi sama pravi Margaret Jade, sva se pogovarjala v okviru Mednarodne poletne šole politične ekologije, ki jo vsako leto organizira društvo Fokus. Če vas zanima kaj več o njihovem delovanju, bom na spletno stran polinkal tudi raziskave, torej te raziskovalne skupine profesorice Si Cui in tudi predavanje z poletne šole politične ekologije. Sedaj pa bom tovarišici pustil besedo, da se predstavi. Za začetek sva se pogovarjala tudi o tem, kaj moramo vedeti o ključni vlogi zemljiške reforme, ki jo je komunistična partija izvedla po uspešni revoluciji in zgodovini kitajskega boja za ekonomsko neodvisnost od mednarodnega kapitala.
My name is Jay and in Chinese Xue Cui, in Putonghua. In Cantonese Si Cui. And I was born in a small town in South China and when I was 5 years old, I moved to Hong Kong with my family. And my background is overseas Indonesian Chinese. And although I grew up in a small town, but I have a special feeling about the countryside. So because my professor Lau Qingqi, she organized some field trip to the rural areas in mainland China. At that time, I was undergraduate, and I. We have to understand the vulnerable groups at the time is the peasants. The majority in China is the peasants. So we want to understand the majority. So we went to the countryside to understand the reality. So after that, I have developed an interest in the rural area. The peasants. So I also joined the rural reconstruction movement in China for the past over 20 years. So my research interest is about the peasants, cooperatives, development studies, and cultural studies. First of all, we have to understand that China has thousands of years of history, and we are based in agriculture, and it's a agriculture society. The root is in the countryside. And even we have many dynasties, but every new dynasty will practice the land redistribution and tax exemption. So this is the historical rhythm. And Communist Party of China just followed this historical rhythm. And once the land revolution was successful, the Communist Party also practiced the land redistribution. That means the majority has access to land. That means have food sovereignty, housing, and job. Of course, the farming job. This is very, very important. This is the base of Chinese society, even today. So this is the first principle we have to understand. So we will describe China as a big country with many peasants, small peasants. So we practice small peasantry. But because of the national driving force for industrialization, it starts from the Qing Dynasty. That means it starts in the 19th century. So Qing Dynasty, Kuomintang Party or Communist Party also pursued this the national industrialization or modernization. So that means the majority or the rural society has to sacrifice for this national industrialization. But under the Communist Party, it's finished. Not only we have the land redistribution, that means we have the higher, comparative higher food sufficiency. On the other hand, we have the the full change of industry trend. That means we have our own industrialization. And also in terms of the currency, the renminbi, we also have the financial sovereignty. That means we have to intervene the exchange rate between the US dollar, particularly US dollar. That means we have the potential negotiating power to challenge the US dollarization, because based on the food sufficiency, national industrialization, and comparative financial sovereignty. Yeah, that why the US treat China has the top priority of rivalry.
Slišali smo torej, da kmetijstvo na Kitajskem še vedno temelji na malih kmetih. Si Cui predstavi, zakaj se je v 60-ih letih razvila podeželska kmetijsko-gospodarska organizacijska oblika, imenovana ljudska komuna, ki je še do danes v središču njenega raziskovalnega zanimanja. Mogoče samo še v bistvu en disclaimer, malo je težav včasih s predajanjem teh izrazov iz kitajščine v angleščino, potem iz angleščine še v slovenščino, tako da bom od tukaj naprej uporabil izraz ljudska komuna.
During the 1960s, we have the People's Commune, because at that time Chinese government has to pursue the national industrialization, and then the peasants have to contribute their surplus value for the national industrialization. So at that time, the People's Commune have to organize to contribute their labor power and also raw materials for industrialization. It's quite different from the Western, colonization and industrialization, all based on the exploitation of the developing countries or the third world. But China example is the based on the internal sacrifice, I will say that. So the majority of the peasant contribute a lot to national industrialization. On the one hand, we have the communist legacy, right? To have a mass mobilization, collectivism. But on the other hand, in our traditional legacy, we all have this kind of village collectivity, village management. So in terms of the land policy, we have land redistribution. Every peasant has access to land. But on the other hand, they are only enjoy the rights of land use, but not land ownership. The land ownership belong to their village. So in that sense, the village has still control on the land ownership. It's a collective ownership of land and also the common resources. This is in rural area. In the city, the land belong to the state. Even though you purchase an apartment in the city, but you only enjoy the land use to the apartment, but not the land. The land belongs to the state.
Od leta 1983 je Kitajska uveljavila tudi drugačen sistem upravljanja z zemljo, tako imenovan Household Responsibility sistem, ki tudi posameznim kmetom omogoča recimo pravico do zemlje, a ne, oziroma tako skoraj nekega polzasebnega ali pa zasebnega upravljanja. Od takrat se je pomen vaške skupnosti oziroma te komunalnosti postopoma zmanjševal, vaške skupnosti pa so dobile tudi nekako pravico, da zemljo oddajajo drugim, a ne torej podjetjem ali pa recimo zasebnim vlagateljem, kar je v določenih trgovinsko-industrijsko pomembnih območjih, recimo okoli delte Biserne reke, torej Hong Kong, Macau, Guangzhou, kjer živi okoli 80 milijonov ljudi, povzročilo veliko dodatne ekološke škode. A ne? Revitalizacija podeželja torej skuša naslavljati to vrstne krize. Kitajska komunistična partija je v zadnjih letih svoje besedišče uvrstila mnogo nove politične terminologije, med drugim lahko recimo beremo o zasledovanju tako imenovane ekološke civilizacije. Kako lahko razumemo nedavni razvoj politične misli v smeri deindustrializacije in kako je vezana izkušnjo razklapljanja od torej, dolariziranega svetovnega finančnega reda, pove pojasni profesorica Si Cui.
For over the 40 years, we have the policy of open door policy, right? Open door and reform. And that means we link to the global economic order. So China play the role of wealth factory. Wealth factory means wealth pollution, and the majority suffers. And in that sense, the grassroots and even the government have to think about what's the alternative to this kind of industrialization or export-oriented economy. Yeah, this is the turning point. That means you have ecological crisis. So it led you to think about the alternatives. So this is the shift to the ecological civilization. And at the same time, you understand, we believe in communism or in traditional Chinese philosophy. That means we also think that we should take care of all those the vulnerable groups. This is the burden of the intellectuals or the scholars. Yeah. So that means you have to let everybody have a better livelihood. This is our mission or intellectual mission, or whether you believe in communism or traditional Chinese philosophy. This is your, the mission, to build a better world for all. But this is only a kind of government paper document, how to put it into practice. And then you have many different kinds of difficulties, because the mainstream is to join the world order, right? That means you only sacrifice your neighbor, sacrifice your environment to earn US dollar, and then you invest US dollar into the market or bond market in the United States, but it's rubbish, right? They just print money and exploit your labor and also environment. So how to break this kind of US dollar circuit? And that is even have pressure from the grassroots, and also from the within the parties, there are also a lot of debates. So that's why there's a push, I say that the alternative driving force to break this kind of, linking to this kind of world order. So I will echo Sami Amin. He used the delinking, right? How the third world or developing countries or global south join the autonomy. That means you have to delink from the US-led order. And we have experience how to live in the dilemma to face, to confront two kinds of sanction, US and also the Soviet Union, these two kinds of sanction. During the 1960s, you mentioned, at that time we focused on the self autonomy and also the self-sufficiency. That means at that time we are think about the alternative way that confront two main sanction and also two main camps. At that time, the so-called the non-aligned movement in the spirit of Bandung. Yeah. So we have this kind of legacy. That means you have to learn how to be self independent, self-autonomy.
Kitajska je zaradi rivalstva z Zahodom podvržena mnogim sankcijam in trgovinskim ukrepom, zato je ključen element politične misli rezilientnost na krize. Profesorica pa razloži, kakšna je vloga podeželja pri spopadanju s krizami modernizacije in družbe na Kitajskem.
When we look into the history, whenever you pursued modernization, you have the crisis, right? For example, during the 1970s and also the 90s and also the pandemic, whenever the crisis in the city, many young people, they will send to the countryside and to solve the problem of the unemployment. Once many young people couldn't find a job, and then that means the rate of crime immediately increased. So how to solve the problem of unemployment? Because we have this kind of historical lesson. And As I mentioned before, we have the land revolution. That means we have villages, and those the for example, now we have around 200 million of peasant workers. And you know, during the financial crisis in 2008, during the pandemic, and all those the peasant workers, they immediately went back to their home village. That means this is a kind of internal circulation. But we think that even the Chinese government also channeled a lot of resources to the countryside to build roads, electricity, Wi-Fi, and also we have very good transport network, particularly the high-speed railway. So during the Spring Festival, you always find those kind of picture, a lot of peasant workers, they will go back to the village to visit their families and enjoy the holidays. And after that, they come back to the city again to work. So this kind of regular circulation. But we hope the hope is still in the countryside. And how to, you know, the mega city is quite vulnerable. We have experienced in the pandemic, right? No food or even masks. They all need the supplies from the countryside. Food is very important. Medicine, particularly the Chinese traditional medicine. So we learn, we understand the rural society is our base. And whenever we have crisis, the rural society save our lives.
Sogovorko smo vprašali, kako je politika odpiranja za kapitalske trge vplivala na strukturo kmetovanja in odpornost kmetovalcev, organiziranih okoli vaških komitejev, torej village committees, ki so, kot rečeno, lastniki oziroma primarni upravljalci podeželske zemlje. Ker so komunalno organiziranje skupnosti tudi eno izmed glavnih področij njenega raziskovanja, ne se zanimalo, kaj v njihovi skupini raziskujejo sploh in kako delajo s kmeti na terenu, pa tudi kako spodbujajo svoje študente k intelektualnem delu v sodelovanju s kmeti.
In recent years, the Chinese government focus on how to rebuild or regenerate the collective economy. Because of the open door policy, and we practice the small peasantry, and everybody just focus on their family farm or family business. Even though the village committee is still exists, but is losing their authority or power. But in terms of crisis, always in terms of crisis, the government have to rely on the collective or rebuild the collective economy, because collective economy can absorb the to solve the employment or to solve the problems. For example, now because of the US sanction, quite a lot of the young people couldn't find job in the city, and it could be also an alternative to think about, can they have a better life or alternative life in the countryside. And you know, the Chinese government already channeled many resources for the rural society. I mean, the Sanong policy and also the new policy of rural revitalization, right? A lot of the investment for the infrastructure only. But how to let the young feel confidence, even though in the countryside you still have life with dignity. And when we visit different kinds of the village committee, and also to visit some kinds of communes, some still use the name, for example, Zhou Jia Zhuang, People's Commune in North China. We also visit the Yakou Commune in South China, and also the Zhang Qichun collectivity, right, in Sichuan province. So we find that they still have, how I say, to practice this collective land management. As I mentioned before, they already have the village committee, have the land ownership. But how to revitalize their authority, to mobilize people, work together, and to, to think about different kinds of activities to let people join together. For example, because the land belongs to the village committee, that means they are landlord. But how the landlord receive the land venue for the all the people? Yeah. That's the question, right? Not only to collect all the land venue, but only small groups enjoy this kind of profit. Another question is how to do the profit distribution, right? So they will collect the land venue because they are landlord. They will let those outsider to land, right? To rent the land. Anyway, they will collect the land venue and use the land venue for the housing project for all, particularly for the young people. The young people has the priority. They going back to the village home, and the village committee will organize or do some arrangement, the job arrangement for them, to let them to open small business, and then they may be the free rent. Yeah, that means to provide some for young people. Or they want to try the organic farming anyway. There are many experimental projects. So it's ongoing. That means in terms of crisis, they will start many kinds of different kinds of experiment, how to solve it. So the important thing is how you have this kind of initiative. Even it may be some projects fail, some projects is good, success. But at that time, but at least you try to mobilize people to join together to solve it. Yeah, this is the point. And also they never forget how to protect the vulnerable groups. And they also have this practice. For example, in Yakou, they also practice the collective farming. And they will do the bookkeeping. That means you join the collective farming, right? Collective work. But we won't pay you the cash, renminbi. But we will calculate how many hours you work on the field and different kind of job nature. And after that, they will, after the harvest, you get the rice, the concrete food. And this is also the legacy from the 1960. I mean, that at that time, the rural society, they practiced this kind of the zheng gong fen, that means the work horn, right? And in the city, they practiced this liang piao, that means the food coupon, something like that. So actually, renminbi, it start from actually in 1992. But before that, we always have decades. We use this kind of calculation.
And
yeah, the distribution in terms of food. Yeah, in terms of, the working hours, in terms of food. But you understand, in particularly in history, in crisis, we don't have so-called the money, but how can we do the exchange of food, right? We still live on, but how can, even though we don't have cash, how can we live on and do this kind of exchange?
Ruralne komunalne skupnosti z oblikami kolektivnega upravljanja so torej še vedno možne, izhajajoč iz zakonov o ljudski komuni iz časa Mao. Ljudem v vaških komunah, torej Village Committees, omogoča takšna zasnova avtonomno upravljanje s presežki, ki jih njihovo delo ustvari, in tudi vlaganje teh presežkov v raznolike infrastrukturne, ekoturistične, tudi ekološke projekte. Gostja pojasni, da je povprečna velikost kmetijskih zelišč na Kitajskem zgolj 0,7 hektarja, zato govorimo o malih kmetih. Večja mož za mobilizacijo in izboljševanje življenja kmetov je torej šele na nivoju vaške skupnosti. Vaška skupnost oziroma podeželske skupnosti, če se želijo organizirati in soustvarjati takšno skupnost, če želijo povečati produktivnost, na primer, morajo prepričati vsakega kmetovalca oziroma gospodarstvo posebej. Gre za dolgotrajen proces demokratizacije brez koncepta volitev, ki ga sogovorka razume tudi kot manj demokratičnega. Zanimalo nas je torej, kolikšen delež s kmetina s kmetajskem se sploh poslužuje takšnega demokratiziranega, kolektiviziranega odločanja.
I would say that on record, over 80 or 90% is a collective economy. They practice collective economy. by registration. But in reality, maybe there's some, how do I say, the power groups, right? They control the co-opt or the elite control. Because as I mentioned, over the past 40 years, individualism is so dominant, right? So how, even though you have the name of the collectivity, but in reality, how to in practice, this is still a big question. Because you find that those rich, they never solve the social problem. But once the vulnerable groups join together, increase their increasing negotiating power, you have to a certain extent you can solve the social problem. And not only the grassroots, because even at the grassroots level, always the strong leadership have this kind of a view and very the strong will, because this mentioned about free communes or the collective collectivities, they all have the strong leadership. That strong leadership have the will to bring all village to join together and share everything. This is one of the element of how can be a successful collectivity. But we still have a long way. As I mentioned before, the individualism, market logic are very, very strong. But I believe in crisis, and it opened up many opportunities and let us revisit the commune or a legacy of people's commune. People's commune is a kind of top-down policy, right? But now the government to persuade or encourage is not a kind of top-down, but it still have a village committee still exists. But how to exercise is another question. One important element of protect or encouraging collective economy because of the food security. For example, in Zhang Qichun, they already to mobilize the nearby village to join together to set up those food grain storage.
Storage space to
do some kinds of processing and then storage. This is a long, long tradition. But because of now, maybe it's kind of factories and machines, but we have a comparative food sufficient in terms of rice, wheat, right?
Of, very important.
Yeah, very important, staple food. But unfortunately, we import a lot of soybean. It's quite a shame because a long, long time before we produce our own soybean and also export. But now, this is kind of a problem of capitalist globalization. But anyway, in terms of food sufficiency, we still earn comparative higher in terms of rice and wheat. So that's why even though there's a food crisis in the world, for example, former colony, because they practice monoculture for international market. So this is how we have to criticize the colonial mind. Now it still exists in many developing countries. They already think about how to produce lots of cash crop, coffee, right? Fruit, and then after that we earn money to buy staple food. But once the price increase, you have to pay a lot. So I always teach my student, this is a colonial mindset. Don't do that. Don't believe in market logic. Because in China, many peasants believe it. We produce a lot of a kiwi or any cash crop because they want earn a lot of money. But we always, to provide many cases, all failed. You can't compete, individual peasant can't compete with the international market. Is the market price is not controlled by you. So the smart things is to produce your own food.
Profesorici Si Cui in Kin Chi Lau, ki je tudi predavala na poletni šoli politične ekologije, sta vključeni tudi v širše gibanje za ruralno rekonstrukcijo in regeneracijo, ki izvajajo raziskave ne samo na kitajskem podeželju, ampak tudi v drugih državah globalnega juga. Omenila je na primer učne obiske v Braziliji, Južnoafriški republiki, Indiji in Indoneziji in tako naprej. S tem pristopom skuša razumeti, kako se izkušnja kitajske prehranske suverenosti in tudi organizacijskih oblik na podeželju umešča v svetovno kmetijstvo. Zanimalo nas je, kako študente vključujejo v svoje raziskovalno delo in katere druge programe izobraževanja in sodelovanja udejanjajo v okviru dela torej gibanja za ruralno rekonstrukcijo.
And then we facilitate the field trip to go to the village. We encourage, because many students also come from the countryside, so we let them do the research about their home village, or to they go to other village to understand what's happened. Is it different from your village? Or anyway, we'll ask them to do research during the summertime or the anyway the holidays or vacation, right? This is part of their homework. Yeah, and also let them to understand their parents or their grandparents. And we also have the projects about the how to facilitate the fair trade between the urban consumer and the peasants. So we have Little Donkey Farm in the suburb Beijing, and we organize farmer markets and also many different kinds of public activities. Frame screening or a seminar about the global warming, the agroecology in different worlds, and this kind of public activities. So we understand how to mobilize not only the student, but also the peasant workers and also the urban consumer, of course, the middle class. So we understand this kind of it's a kind of a mass mobilization. We hope different kinds of social sector will join together because we face the same problem, particularly ecological crisis. We organize many activities for the young people. Most of them, they already fed up with the city life. They already have the driving force to find alternatives. But we provide alternative way or alternative well-will. So once they find they feel interested, that means they already have personally, they are already driven force. Even though they maybe don't agree with us, right? Or not exactly going back to the village or find another alternative jobs, but at least they have tried many different kinds of experience. Our job is try to, to mobilize. Once you joined, we let them have interconnect. That means we provide the platform to let people already find fed up with different kinds of crisis and they want to find alternatives. So we provide the platform. On the other hand, we don't have a very concrete institutionalized structure, so it's kind of a social network. And funding is project-based. So we have fund, for example, this, for example, the Rural Donkey Farm, because the village community support our project. So they are landlord, right? But we don't need to pay the land rent, right? This kind of support, right? There's a free land rent, right? And the local government always put some funding for example, the buildings. And I write some projects, research projects, it depends, right? So it's kind of a project based. But for example, we also have got, for example, we want to organize some international conference and then different kinds of organizers will try their best to search some small fund and then we join, we collect together. So it's kind of a mobilization and also kind of process of education, because also we also have the tradition of voluntarism. So Every time we organize field trip or the conference, and many students are interested, and then they can learn how to understand the reality, how to have interaction with different kinds of people. So I say that, of course, we also have many difficulties, but I'm sure only through this kind of, projects, and also the you understand how you work together with different kinds of people. It's a kind of educational process.
Profesorica Si Cui opozarja, da je dela še veliko. Spreminjanje svetovnih nazorov pri mladih in tudi izkušenih kmetovalcih je dolgotrajen in pogosto zahteven proces, od spopadanja z individualizmom in nagnjenosti k zasledovanju dobička do vprašanja recimo tudi, kako svoje delo oziroma imenuje ga tudi recimo dialogi med kmeti in intelektualci, komunicirati preko socialnih omrežij, preko različnih socialnih programov, srečanj. V naslednjih korakih skušajo proizvesti tudi več knjig in kvalitetnih virov, ki denimo opozarjajo na sporne ekološke prakse, na pomen kolektivnosti in tudi na alternative trenutnim praksam. Za konec nas je zanimalo, ali imata profesorici Sit Cui in Kin Chi Lau v okviru svojega obiska v Sloveniji še kakšne opravke.
Thank you very much for your invitation. It's my first time to visit Slovenia. And so now in the next few days, we plan to visit the rural area in Slovenia. So we try to understand the so-called rural resonance in Slovenia. But anyway, we want to learn more. And I think because you have many opportunities to visit different kinds of, particularly Europe, but I hope you can to visit more developing countries, so you can have understand more the reality, particularly the reality in the global south. Based on my experience, I think if you can save money, you just travel to China, to any place you want to go, and you can just travel by your own way or with a small group. Just go and experience, and then we'll become a different person.
Z vami sem bil Luka S. iz znanstvene redakcije. V ZR intervjuju ste poslušali pogovor s kitajsko raziskovalko Si Cui, ki v svojem delu preučuje vaške skupnosti in spremembe na kitajskem podeželju v času podnebnih sprememb in rekonstrukcije podeželskih sistemov in njihove socialne funkcije.
Intervju Radia Študent.